This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline covering college football for SB Nation, he's Alex Kirchner. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Patrick, how are you? I'm doing well, thanks.
Hey, man, appreciate you taking a little time for us this afternoon. And I'm sure you are expecting me to ask you about stuff from Ohio State and stuff from Maryland. And I will ask you those things. But this one, I got another new one. This one just coming out not too long ago. There is a former Texas A&M linebacker who is seeking a transfer waiver, and now they've got that new rules where they, you know, they all have to go into the computer system and whatnot. Well, Santino Marchiol is alleging multiple NCAA violations by the Aggie staff in his transfer waiver request. Something that the NCAA didn't think was going to happen.
Interesting, because they opened up this new rule a couple of months ago after the NCAA sanctioned Ole Miss, and it allowed about a half dozen Ole Miss players to be eligible elsewhere, and it's really easy to see now. I mean, I think it was foreseeable at the time how this could create a lot of situations where you're forcing players who want to be eligible immediately for good reason to kind of air dirty laundry or potential dirty laundry on the part of the programs that they're leaving. Maybe that's what the NCAA wants. I'm not sure, but I do think that this kind of dynamic is sort of inevitable when you create, you know, what you call a mitigating circumstances standard like the NCAA has, where you're going to have players in this exact situation.
Now, for this particular case, how big an issue do you think this is for A&M versus how big an issue is this for the NCAA as a whole, because now that it's happened once and it's, you know, hit the media, we're bound to find out it's going to happen a whole lot more times.
It might. I'm not sure how big a deal it'll be for A&M, because the NCAA, you know, they have to spin the wheel of justice and kind of just decide how serious they're going to take this case, as they do with any case. I mean, the NCAA has complete discretion to go really hard after a program for, you know, things that it thinks it did to violate the rules, or it can do nothing. So the NCAA hasn't commented, and I think that until they do, it's going to be really difficult to tell how big of a problem it's going to be for Jimbo Fisher and staff, but it can't be good.
Now, Ohio State says a decision on Urban Meyer is going to come down soon. Now, they said it was going to happen on Sunday, and then they hit us with the, well, you know, when it's done, it's done. And now they're having some kind of meeting tomorrow, and they've pledged to make the investigation public based on everything that you know so far and the fact that Urban Meyer is technically owed $38 million. Is he basically just going to get off with a couple of game suspension?
Well, it doesn't sound like it's going to be anything more than suspension reports and what seems to be the conventional wisdom that's lining up together. So that's definitely the read from reporters who have been closer to the situation and what they think is going to happen.
Now, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was when Urban Meyer made his mea culpa and came in with, okay, I was lying, and this is why I lied, and this is what I lied about. He kind of dropped in this bus that ran over his AD, and he said, well, I've always reported everything up through the proper channels. Now, we've heard literally nothing about whether or not that's been confirmed, whether it's been denied, whether the AD knew, whether anybody above Urban Meyer knew. Is this all stuff that we're going to finally find out when they release whatever their investigation is, or are they going to keep this completely centered around Urban?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that in general, the story has moved pretty far away from the core issue, which is whether or not Urban Meyer mishandled allegations of abuse against an assistant coach. It seems like we've gotten really far away from that core subject, and I'm not sure what else might have come up in Ohio State's investigation. But I know that there was going to be, I saw a report there was going to be an oral presentation made to the board at one point. They say the investigation is going to be public. I mean, college athletic departments and universities, what is public to them or in their definition? You know, that only implies a certain level of transparency, and it's never clear what that is. So we'll see. I mean, I think that they're going to have to, you know, disclose something of this investigation to justify whatever decision they make. But I think that they're going to want pretty seriously to, you know, limit their own risk and to make sure that the story plays how they want it to play according to, you know, the punishment or that they decide on or don't. So we're going to have to wait until Thursday to see exactly how detailed they get.
Alex Kirchner covers college football for SB Nation with us on the hotline. Do you think all of this investigation of the coach and whatnot, do you think that it has any carryover effect on the field for the Buckeyes?
Any, maybe. I mean, it's really hard to get inside a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds' heads. I do think that no matter who is coaching Ohio State, I think this is, you know, by talent, it's a top two team in the country, and I would be surprised if it wasn't the best team in the Big Ten. So I don't think that you're going to suddenly see Ohio State, like, lose four games this year, no matter who the coach is. But as far as determining the future direction of the program, it's obviously it's an important decision.
All right, Alex, let's shift over to Maryland, where the Board of Regents has actually taken control of the university from the administration. How many times can you recall that happening?
Ooh, well, I think, you know, it's pretty common for a board to be in charge of an investigation like this and to make these kinds of decisions when you have coaching controversies. I mean, you saw, you know, Ohio State's board, you know, has had oversight of the investigation that's been going on there. You saw Penn State's board a couple of years ago make a spate of decisions relating to the Jerry Sandusky scandal. So I don't think it's surprising that the board has asserted some control there. I mean, ultimately, a university president or a chancellor does work for the board. You know, ultimately, you work for the people of the state in this case. But, you know, the people who are kind of his direct report, you know, they're in charge. And so I don't think it's too shocking, but it could be significant in that it might take some control over his own future out of the president Walslow's hands.
Now, you had said you don't think Urban Meyer will face anything more than a suspension. Is DJ Durkin basically on death row?
Well, I don't think it's likely that he ever coaches a Maryland football game again, just given the you know, Jordan McNair, the player who died earlier this summer after falling ill at a workout. His family has stated very clearly, without any equivocation, that DJ Durkin should be fired. You know, there's still multiple investigations ongoing into his program right now. So he doesn't have what Urban Meyer has, which is a history of winning that might give him some cushion. And that's, I don't mean to be cynical, but it's just probably a reality of how these decisions sometimes get made, at least it's a factor. And it would just be surprising to me if Maryland ever had DJ Durkin coach again. Not to say it's impossible, but it just doesn't seem like it's moving in that direction.
Alex Kirchner covers college football for SB Nation with us on the hotline. Alex, Ed Oliver at UH is basically on everybody's list as best defensive player in college football. Some have him as the best player in college football. Can he get UH to a New Year's Six bowl game this year, or is it going to be Ed Oliver is, you know, going to rack up big numbers, but the team itself ultimately will disappoint?
Yeah, do I have you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that if Houston wins the American, which, you know, is certainly in play, then I don't see any reason why they couldn't get to New Year's Bowl. I mean, that's the best group of five conference, and there's a spot set aside for the best group of five champs. So I think that the first thing we got to get over there is that Memphis and the AAC West is really good and you know, lost a quarterback on that team last year, Riley Ferguson, who did so much for him. But I think Memphis is probably still the best bet if I had to pick one other than UCF out of that conference. But, you know, if Houston can beat Memphis this year, then I think you'd have to look at Houston as the favorite in that division. And then you got a possible one game with a UCF or maybe a USF. And other than that, I mean, you know, you might look at a team like Boise State as probably the best bet for that bowl bid outside of the American. And Boise State's a great program, good team every year. But I wouldn't rule them out. I think Tulsa, Houston, I think they're on the road at Memphis this year, which is, you know, a tricky factor for them, given that Memphis plays pretty well at home. They've beaten a couple of Power 5 teams at home in the last few years. But if they could do it against Memphis in the last game of the regular season, then I think they'd be a good bet.
The Pac-12's got a lot of new coaches this year. Who's going to have the biggest impact, and who's going to have the worst season?
In the Pac-12, well, you know, I think Mario Cristobal at Oregon is going to do really well. You know, I think they improved a lot as a team last year under Willie Taggart. I mean, you know, Taggart's only there for 1 year, but Cristobal maintains a lot of his staff, maintains Jim Levitt as defensive coordinator, and Levitt has a great reputation for building defenses. And there's just a lot of talent that I think is really primed to be good this year. Justin Herbert's probably going to be a top, you know, I'll let's say he's probably going to be a first-round NFL pick at quarterback. And, you know, he's really come on strong at the end of the last 2 years, including when he was, you know, playing as a true freshman 2 years ago. So I like Oregon a lot this year. I think they'll be a good team. Wouldn't be too excited about Arizona State under Herm Edwards. I think that's just going to be hard, but who knows? Maybe he could surprise us in his first time doing this in a decade, and his first time doing college football since, like, the 80s.
He's Alex Kircher, and he covers college football for SB Nation with us on the hotline. Alex, you got a Twitter account or something that people can follow you online?
Yep, you can follow me at Alex_Kirchner, and you can follow SB Nation College Football, more importantly. That's at SB Nation, B as in boy, SB Nation CFB, for all that we do.
All right, very cool. Alex Kircher, SB Nation, covering college football. Appreciate your time, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right, Alex Kircher, SB Nation, with us on the hotline. We wrap it up next with a once terrific receiver calling it a career.